you will take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So over the last several weeks, we have been considering possessions is one thing. A foundational understanding of possessions is necessary in order for us to then move into a right understanding of work. Last week, the question was asked, why should we work? And so this week, the question is, how should we work? How should we work? We'll be in several different passages of Scripture, but to begin our consideration, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. One verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." And that's very helpful for us to understand anything about work, why we work and how we work. Ultimately, we know that if we do any kind of profitable work, it is by God's grace. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we do bow before you now. We thank you for you giving us your word. It is the truth. And Lord, we ask that this night you would take your truth and work in us. Oh, Lord, work in us in a mighty way. Change our minds and change our hearts. May they be conformed more to the image of Jesus. And, Lord, change our actions. Change our labor and our toil and our effort. Anything that is lacking or falling short, Lord, let us be laborers for your name's sake, we pray. And it's only through your grace that that is possible. And certainly, grace that was made manifest to us was Jesus, the Word that became flesh. He was full of grace and truth, so we ask that through Jesus we might receive a blessing from your Word tonight. Amen. I hope that these past messages, we've seen the importance of looking to the Bible to understand how to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, how we should think about all sorts of things, how many things are connected, all things that what we think about possessions and ultimately what we think about work is tied into how to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. That's what we want in the last day of our existence on this earth or this mortal life is we want to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." And so we are going to keep looking to the Bible. The Bible contains the truth that we need. And Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And so I hope that we will hear the truth about how we should work. How we should work. I don't know if you've considered this subject very much, but it applies to each one of us in this room. It applies to each one of us in this room. So again, last time, why should we work? Tonight is how should we work, or what type of worker should we be? What type of worker should we be? And so the first point is going to come from Colossians chapter 3. Take your Bible again, and as we turn to Colossians chapter 3, we're going to see the first point. How should we work? Well, we should work as if we are working for the Lord. Work as if we are working for the Lord. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. It says, "Slaves or bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. So this relationship, the instruction is given here for the servant to the master. I also have heard it said that this can be applied today to the employee and the employer. So we certainly understand, we can understand some biblical principle of work from this verse. Some here in this congregation are employees, and some are employers. That will be dependent upon where the Lord has put you. But whichever one you are, we need to learn something about the manner of work that we should have. And so you might be saying, I'm not an employee nor an employer, so I don't have to listen. Let's take the more general and the broader application of the word work. And what have we used, or what have I used there? All of us need to know how to work, meaning all of us need to know how to labor. All of us need to know how to toil, to exert ourselves, or put forth effort. And so, again, day by day, we are working, in a sense. From the youngest, basically the youngest one here, to the oldest one here, we're all exerting ourselves in some way. And so how should we do that? Well, the bondservant is to obey their earthly master. The employee should obey their employer's reasonable request. That's pretty straightforward from verse 22 there. Obey in everything your earthly masters. And our work does not need to be only eye service. You see there from that scripture, not with eye service, not with eye service, meaning we only work when the boss is watching. That would mean that if we were giving eye service, we would only be working when the boss was watching. The question is, do we work differently when someone is watching? Do we work differently when someone is watching? Children, you can answer that question as well. Do we work differently when someone is watching? We have all changed our actions when we knew someone was watching us. We have all worked in a different way. The truth is, though, that there is always someone watching. And so the catechism, the kitty catechism helps us tonight. There's always somebody watching. In the context of China, you would say that there's always a security camera upon you. There's only 200 million in China, and there's supposed to be 400 million in the next 2 years. So they're increasing this surveillance by camera. Our society would resist that as much as possible. But not security cameras watching, but there is truly the Lord watching. We find there in Proverbs that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. And so the Lord is always watching. If we are going to be working in the way that the Bible teaches us to work, if we're going to have the best God-glorifying work that is possible, then we don't need to forget that the Lord is watching. The Lord is watching us. And so, this can be a terrifying truth. I don't know about you, but, you know, at times we like some privacy, right? We don't really want anyone watching. And it can be terrifying to know that someone is always watching, that the Lord sees every evil thing that we do. That would be terrifying. Or it could be a great comfort. It can be a great comfort to know that the Lord also sees every good thing that we do. And at times we don't get credit for things in this life, and we know that that's okay. It's not necessary. We're not ultimately laboring for the praise of men in this life. So it can be comforting that the Lord is watching. We don't need to be workers that are ones that just give eye service. Just when we know the boss is watching, just when we know mom and dad are watching us, then we will actually get busy about doing our chores and the things we ought to be doing. Just when the other church member is watching, do we act in the way that and work ultimately in the way that's pleasing to the Lord? Also, we see from verse 22 that we need to obey our earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers. As people pleasers or men pleasers. Our work does not need to be merely man pleasing. Of course, we want people, the people we work for, to be pleased. We want them to be pleased, those that we're working for. But and we should not displease people because we work in a sinful way. Or we have sinful actions. But we should not think, that we are a good worker because our boss is pleased. That's not necessarily a good thing. The boss might be happy or even pay you extra to be dishonest. This is the reality of this fallen world. We know that the boss might be pleased if you make extra sales, and you can do that in any way possible, whatever's necessary. You should not try to please a boss by sinning. Don't try to please your boss by sinning. The boss might be pleased if you work all the time with a lot of overtime, which causes you to have no time for your family. The boss might be pleased with that. You should not try to please a boss who wants you to neglect your family. And there are seasons that require a lot of work and times that you have to be away from home, but that should not always be the case. As we consider work that pleases the Lord and work that is pleasing from the Lord, we're getting principles from His Word. God has made the family, and the family must have time together to fulfill its purposes, the God-intended purposes of the family. And so then, back in verse 22, we see that we need to work with sincerity of heart. We need to work with sincerity of heart, or singleness of heart. Our heart does not need to be divided. We need to be settled in our heart for the reason that we work. We need to work because we're commanded to work. We need to work because we want to provide for ourselves and for our family. We need to work so that we can have something to give to others. Once our heart is settled on the reason that we work, then we can put our heart into our work. we need one way of working. Eye service is a type of work that has two ways of working. So if you work by way of eye service, only when someone's watching do you really put forth the effort, the labor, and the toil. Someone's not working, then you relax and you waste time and you're lazy. That's two ways of working. We need one way of working. So a single or a sincere heart, single or sincere-hearted worship has a consistent, continual type of work. These are things that will help us much as we want to labor and toil, then we can just simply look to the Word and just read even that verse to remind ourselves what type of work. Well, it's consistent, continual, single, sincere-hearted work. And it needs to be with fearing the Lord. There at the end of the verse, fearing the Lord. The heart that fears the Lord will motivate a person to work in the best way possible. You and I will work in the most God-glorifying way when we have a heart that fears the Lord. Both aspects of holy fear will motivate us. True trembling fear is produced when a person truly knows the Lord. Great reverence and respect is produced when a person knows the Lord. So we don't need to work because we fear man. That's not a good reason to work or a good manner type of work to give. You know, the fear of the Lord is what should motivate our work. So John Gill says that a servant that fears God will make conscience of discharging his service faithfully. We're thinking about God, we have a fear of the Lord in our heart, we're going to serve and we're going to work faithfully. And this is what he says that was very helpful as I think about this. Not misspending his master's time, nor embezzling his goods or wasting his substance, but rather this person that's fearing God, but from a principle of reverential affection for God, the fear of him with concern for his name. You're thinking about the Lord as you do whatever work you might possibly do. And the person that knows the Lord will labor in this way. They will have diligence, uprightness, faithfulness, and sincerity in their duty. Of course, from Gill, and they're seeking their master's good and interest and cheerfully obeying his lawful commands. Wow, what a worker described from this verse. From one verse of Scripture, we see some principles of work that are very powerful. How it would change. And this, the Christian work ethic has had an effect. I've heard even in China, when they're looking for English teachers, you know, many, many people want to learn English in China. The government wants their people to learn English. They want their people to have access to all the literature that is produced, if it's research literature, all the technological writings or whatever that's put out in English, they want access to that. So there's a high demand for English teachers. I've heard that some schools recruit Christian teachers in China, not because they want their Christianity, but because they want their work ethic. They don't want just a bunch of college kids or recent college graduates from the States to come over and abuse alcohol and live in a sexually immoral way and not show up to their English classes, but rather they want Christians who have a different manner of life, who have a relationship with the Lord, who makes their life look very, very different from those that are living according to the pleasures of the flesh. So work. We see from this verse 22, and then verse 23, of course, is where we would get the main point that I'm trying to bring out. Work as if we were working for the Lord. Verse 23 of Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Here we find a summary statement that would be a good guide for us in all we do, whatever you do. In context, of course, this is referring to the servant and the master. What does it mean for you today? Some of you are students here, and school is about to start back, or maybe you didn't even stop throughout the summer, but most of the school is about to start back. If you're a student, you need to think about this clearly. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. Work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Some of you work in the home. Some of you work outside the home. So we all have responsibilities to work in some way. What sort of work do I mean? Whatever you do. Whatever you do. Whatever toil, labor, exertion, and effort that you're putting forth. So how should we do whatever we should do or whatever we do? The question is, how should we work? And it says there in that verse that we need to work heartily. Work heartily. This is the second time that heart is connected to work in these two verses. Heart has been connected to the verse in these two verses two times. What is meant by the phrase, put your heart into your work? Well, that's a good question. We say it, we hear it. We hear this phrase, put your heart into your work. the more common translation of this Greek word is life or soul. And so don't just put your body into your work, but put your inner man, put your life, put your soul into your work. And the word heart is used to get down deep inside of us. I know that I say this a lot, but it's so important. Christianity is not something just of outward actions, not just a list of rules to be obeyed. Certainly we ought to obey. But Christianity, and before we become a Christian, the Word of God gets down within us. It's very sharp, sharper than the double-edged sword. And it divides, gets down to where the joint and the marrow come together there. And it says even that it discerns the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So here we are. Our work will show something about our heart. Our work will show something about our heart. So not our literal heart, not pumping blood through our body, but the place where our feelings, our desires, our affections originate. That's where we're getting down to, within our heart, or who we are on the inside should affect our work and should affect what we do on the outside. Here is where the heart change. It's called salvation. Makes all the difference. This is really, where is your heart before the Lord? Before I ask you, where is your heart towards your work? I mean, where your heart is toward your work is certainly secondary to your heart before the Lord. And the Lord is the one who replaces the heart. We have when we're dead in our sins and trespasses, when we are spiritually dead, we have a hard heart towards God and the things of God. And then the Bible says that he gives us the heart of flesh. He gives us a heart that is actually has new desires, a heart that wants to love him, a heart that wants to live for him. And so first, the heart change of salvation must happen. And now we want to think about the heart towards our work. Gill says, do it heartily. Not by mere force and necessity, not grudgingly. Wow. Have we ever grudgingly done our work? He also goes on and says, with murmurings. Ah, man, sometimes our work is such drudgery. Whatever your work may be, for that matter. But, Gill says, but from the heart and with goodwill, having a true, real, and hearty affection for their masters, talking about the servant to the master, having the good and the interest at heart, a delight in their service. Wow, I want to be that type of worker. The effort and the toil and the labor that I'm putting forth, I want it to be heartily, not grudgingly, not murmuring. Oh God, give us such hearts. Make us such workers. Because ultimately, we're working for you. As for the Lord. That is it. The Christian's heart is for the Lord. The Christian has these new desires, these new feelings, these new affections. We love different things as a result of God changing us. The Christian has begun to love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their mind. So the Christian does not love themselves above all things. But rather, the Christian has a desire to love God above all things. That's who we want to be. That's what God is bringing us to. Christ is the example for the Christian. What did he do? Everything he did was for his Father in heaven. And so, as we ask this question, how should we work? We know it needs to be us to the Lord. It needs to be heartily. And so if we want to be workers that way, then first we need to make sure your heart is for the Lord. We work because Jesus has completed all the work that was necessary for our salvation. We can rest in the finished work of Christ. But then I said last week, we don't stay in that state of resting forever. We always rest in the Lord's work and salvation, but now we want to work in such a way that pleases the Lord. So not for men. The Christian does not work. You see it there in verse 23, not for men, The Christian does not work to accomplish the desires of man. We work to accomplish what the Lord desires. Men may have sinful motivation for wanting to employ you. God always has good purposes for you to work. He always has good purposes. So here is the best way that we can say it. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. Are you putting your heart into your work as if the Lord was with you as you work? That can be a sobering question. And I have a hat that helps me remember this truth. Some of you might have seen this hat. It says, Jesus is my boss. Simple hat. So for us to consider, something to consider as we think about how we should work, we know we should work as for the Lord. Who is your boss? Who is your boss? Okay, that's the first point. Now let's turn to Acts 20. Acts 20, we're going to find another aspect, another answer to the question, how should we work? We know we should work, so how should it be? Here it is. We need to work hard. Work hard. Acts chapter 20, I'll read verses 33 through 35. Acts 20, 33. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so here we see that we should certainly be working hard, or we certainly should be laboring as we ought. Who is your boss? It is clear who Paul's boss was. Paul was not bossed or ruled over by covetousness. No, he is not bossed or ruled over by a desire to be rich. He was not ruled over by the love of money. He said, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. But Paul tells the Ephesian elders that he did not come to them with his hand out, saying, I bring you the gospel, now you give me money. That's not what he said. That's not the way that he ministered. No, Paul took care of himself and those who were with him by working with his own hands. By working with his own hands. There's certainly the place for the support of the minister. In the established congregation where the gospel is taken hold, we also see from Scripture that the laborer is worthy of his wages. We know that ministers need to be devoted to the word and prayer. So by certainty that Paul said that he could have demanded that they support him or whatnot, but in his pioneer missionary efforts, he was going to labor with his own hands to set this example. Albert Barnes says, every minister of the gospel, when he comes to die, will desire to be able to make this appeal, to leave a solemn testimony there, that it was not for gold or ease or fame that he toiled in the ministerial office. How much more influence will such a man have than he who has been worldly minded and who sought to become rich, and the only memorials of his life is that he sought the fleece and not the flock, and that he has gained property and not the souls of people. And so here is an example of how Paul went to the Ephesians. He reminds them of how he was working hard. He was laboring, taking care of the weak. Paul has showed them how to labor and work hard. And so why would there be, for instance, in ESV, it says work hard, working hard. And of course, in King James, it says laboring. But why would there be working hard in such a translation? Helps Word Studies takes this word, this laboring or this hard work, it says, exhausting labor is a good definition. Labor until worn out, depleted, exhausted. So Paul did not just do enough work to get by. Paul put his heart into his work. Paul worked until he was exhausted and worn out. Why would we think that our life will be or should be any different? Now, we know that he's laboring to spread the gospel. This morning we heard that we all ought to be bearers of the good news. We ought to be those proclaimers of good news in any place that we can. And so Paul worked hard. He was exhausted with this work. Why would we be any different? Well, I don't think that we should be. And of course, we need to clarify that we're not talking about let's all be workaholics. That's not the point. The point is let's all be workaholics. But in our labor, in our right labor, we need to work hard. So we're talking about this toil, labor, and effort that we put forth. So the husband's effort to love his wife as Christ loves the church, that needs to be hard labor. It needs to be focused, putting your heart into this work. Also, the wife's effort to help her husband and submit to his leadership. The parents' effort to raise their children for the Lord. The Christian's effort to live as a witness for the Lord. You get the idea that every aspect of our life can be taken up in this idea of working as to the Lord, and the manner that it needs to be. It needs to be hard work. It needs to be exhausting labor. We need to have hearty labor. Also, we need to think, students need to think about the labor that they put into their studies. The effort that a worker in the home gives to their duties. The effort that an employee gives while working for the employer. The effort the employer gives while doing business for the Lord. Hard work, toil till you're tired. So one definition of this exhausting labor included both physical and mental. Because the truth is that we have different work. Some work requires more toil with the body. Some work requires more toil with the mind. We need to be hard workers. One is not better than the other. Certainly, it's based on something of how God has made you, suited you for one thing or the other. We should work hard for the God-given reasons that we've stated several times. And so, these reasons should motivate us in our work. And when we are fulfilling the command to work, when we're fulfilling our responsibilities to provide for ourselves and for our family, when we are laboring so that we have something to give to others, this needs to be hard work. This needs to be exhausting effort. Work for the Lord and work hard. What's the third point? The third point in how should we work is work in a good and honest way. Work in a good and honest way. Ephesians chapter 4. Take your Bible there. Ephesians chapter 4. As we consider these aspects of our work. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Some of these verses are coming up again. We looked at them last week, and now we're looking at other parts this week. Ephesians 4, 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Work in a good and honest way. Here's another example from the Bible that says we should work hard. In addition, this example teaches us that our work should be good or honest. The thief uses deception. Take this straight from Scripture. The thief uses deception and lies to gain wealth. A thief's work is dishonest. This verse says that the thief should rather work hard doing what is good. So what is good work? You ask yourself, what is good work? Well, good work is what God approves of. Good work is work that God approves of. God approves of working in an honest and a truthful way. If you have been like the thief that uses lies and deceit in his work, then we need to stop that work. The thief makes gains based on the work of another person's hands. Another person has labored and toiled, and then the thief comes and makes their gains based on someone else's work. The thief must work with their own hands in order to provide for himself or herself. The former thief can then share out of an abundance with anyone in need. And so, work in a good and honest way. When you think about your work, ask yourself, would God call this work good? Would God call this work good, the things that you do? I would not and could not begin to list all the honest work that God approves of, but I can give you some questions that will help guide the decision to that answer. What direct Bible reference or biblical principle speaks to this work? So the things that you do, that you take up your time with, what you give forth your labor, toil, and effort, what does the Bible say specifically or by principle about? Another question, do I break the law of God by doing this work? It's a more direct way of asking the first question. And would I be comfortable with Jesus present as I work? And we certainly should be thinking people and specifically thinking about what pleases the Lord. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So the best way to test, prove, and discern something is by God's revelation, the Bible. All work is either good or evil. Do you see that? Everything that you do is either good or evil. We don't want to spend much time on the middle ground. Some people major on the middle ground and they say, oh, I can do this, it's okay for me. But let's just go to Scripture, and Pastor Mark read it this morning out of John chapter 3. Turn back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, beginning verse 19. John 3:19, and this is the judgment. Light is come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So, these questions, what direct Bible principle or reference speak to the work? Do I break the law of God by doing the work? Would I be comfortable with Jesus present as I work? Are meant to bring life or bring light or truth to the work. If we want to hide our work, if we don't want others to know about our work, that can be a problem. That's things we're wanting to keep in darkness many times. The reality is that all our work will be exposed. There is no question about it. Some of our work is known now, but all of our work will be known later. All of your life will be known later. The sins of some people are evident, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others will appear later. Also, good works. Some are evident now, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. So we need to work in a good and an honest way. And one more question to consider if our work is good. Are people helped or hurt by our work? Are people helped or hurt by our work? Albert Barnes says, an honest employment benefits everybody. A good farmer is a benefit to his neighbor and country. A good shoemaker, blacksmith, weaver, cabinet maker, watchmaker, machinist is a blessing to the community. He injures no one. He benefits all. Is our work helping people or is it hurting people? And so we could say a good phone and laptop repair man could do good for their area, and you put your work or your station in life in that fill in the blank. We need to be more serious about our toil, labor, and effort, the effort of our lives. We need to work in a good and honest way. And to conclude, we need to realize that we should work as long as the Lord gives us life. Work as long as the Lord gives you life. And so back to Acts chapter 20, and we'll close there. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul, again, is speaking to these Ephesian elders. The value of our life is to work for the Lord. The value of your life and my life is to work for the Lord, to complete the course that the Lord has set us on. To complete the course that the Lord has set us on. Are you running the race of life for the Lord? Just think about it. We're all in the race. Are we running for the Lord? One day the race of life will end. What will you say? Hopefully we can all say with Paul that I am being poured out as a drink offering, an act of worship. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Work as long as the Lord gives you life. Work as if you're working for the Lord. Work hard. Work in a good and honest way. Work as long as the Lord gives you life. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let us pray. Father, you know us. You see us. And Lord, I want our work to be for you. Lord, forgive us for laziness, those of us that have been lazy. Lord, forgive us for heartless work, cold-hearted work. Oh, Lord, would you work in us a mighty, mighty desire to glorify you in all things. We are so happy and joyful and delighted about your grace unto salvation. Now, Lord, we need your grace to work harder than anyone. Lord, we need to be those that work harder than anyone, and then we need to be those that powerfully confess, it is not I, but the grace of God in me. Thank you so much, Lord, that you use people in such powerful ways. We want to be used up for your purposes. Oh, let this life not be wasted, I pray. Thank you that you've given us good reasons to work. And Lord, thank you that you show us how to. Now we need your strength. We need your blessing, your enablement upon us. Lord, we thank you for giving us opportunity to come to your word Sunday by Sunday, Wednesday by Wednesday, day by day, to seek you. And Lord, thank you that you continually speak through your word. Oh, would you speak to us and continue to keep these messages we've heard this day upon our mind. And oh, continue to change us for your glory. And it is through Jesus that we ask this great blessing. Amen.